I call myself Ron Burgundy. I'm famous. I own many clocks. This is my podcast. You are listening to my podcast, and you will be rewarded with great knowledge. I can't confirm this, but I've heard it said, perhaps by me, that you can earn a degree listening to my podcast. That's what I heard from my source. My source, that is, perchance, myself. A little source in my head. All I'm saying is buckle up for learning here on the Ron Burgundy Podcast. My friend Carolina has been by my side the whole time from my very first podcast, which we did 17 years ago, I believe. And she's learned ever so much listening to me talk. Say a few words so people know I'm not lying.
How have you been?
Oh, don't ask.
Okay, never mind. I'm not going to ask.
My car got stolen with a lot of merchandise still in it.
Oh, are you serious? I'm so sorry.
Well, the car will turn up. It always does. But there was a lot of merchandise.
What kind of merchandise?
Can't be specific, but mainly leather goods, women's accessories, for her and his pleasure leather accessories.
Got it.
Brand name luxury items I was planning to move. You know the game. Anyway, the thieves picked the perfect time of day, which leads me to believe they knew my business. They knew I was transporting a full shipment of merchandise. They waited until I left my car alone with the merchandise in it. I went into my favorite watering hole, and as long as it takes to throw back two or three midday cocktails, that was all the time they needed to jack my car.
Oh, did you call the police?
I don't want to get the police involved if you get my drift.
Right.
Yeah, once the merchandise hits the market, I'll be able to track down the thieves. And then, plain and simple, it's hospital time.
What are you talking about?
You live in a fantasy world, Carolina. It's not all fuzzy socks and banana cream pies. God, I'd love to be as naive as you. It would be glorious. What joy. What ease. No, when you're a grown man, sometimes you have to get down in the gutter where it smells like cheese and urine and take care of business, TCB. I'll leave it at that. Suffice it to say, the car, the merchandise will come back to me. For now, it's a mystery.
Well, I'm sorry to hear it. I really am.
Oh, I don't mind at all. I like good mysteries, which brings us to today's podcast. Today on the podcast, I'm going to treat my listeners to a very special Ron Burgundy mystery.
Oh, that actually sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it will be. A lot of fun. I've taken the time to write up an old-fashioned radio mystery, something I've always wanted to do. It will give us both a chance to do some play-acting, and it should be a real nail-biter. Radio mysteries were a big thing in the Burgundy household growing up.
Really? Wait, when did you grow up then? Like, the 1930s?
Oh, heavens no. But remember, I grew up very poor with none of the advantages you've had. I didn't have a tube of chocolate ice cream running into my mouth all day long the way you did, Carolina. I didn't have your dry skin problem either. All we could afford growing up was an old Philco radio.
Really? I don't think that's true.
Well, I could be lying. I do a lot of lying, you know. You know that. It's good for the circulation. 80% of all doctors will admit that a few lies a day will contribute to good heart health. You've heard that, right?
I haven't, no.
It gets you excited, nervous. Will my wife discover my secret letters? Will the IRS find out my podcast is a front for money laundering? I mean, the medical community is divided and more research needs to be done, but it's basically been proven true. Lying is nice on the body.
It's proven?
Jesus, witch woman. What are you? I mean, you're catching every one of my lies today. I'm lying with great power and authority, and it's no match for your witchy powers. I give up. I just want to do a radio mystery hour, okay?
Yes, sounds fun. Let's do it.
That's the spirit. And without further ado, mystery music? Is it queuing? Do we hear it?
Yeah.
Carolina,
yeah.
Do you hear it? It is?
It's good. It's mysterious.
Yep.
It's powerful.
Powerful.
Potent.
It's right.
Yeah.
It's in the pocket?
It's in the pocket.
Yeah.
It's...
Okay. Okay. My name is Ron Burgundy. I walk a beat. The city is my beat and the night is my mistress. She's a cold mistress, but one that I'll never escape. Not until the last criminal is put away for good and the world can sleep without fear. They call me Ron Burgundy, and this is the Ron Burgundy Mystery Hour.
Hardcore.
And did the dramatic music, do you feel it was good?
It's effective, yes.
Okay.
Am I reading this part?
Shh, do it.
The Ron Burgundy Mystery Hour is brought to you by Mr. Gravely's Stay Put Hair Tonic. Gentlemen, have you ever been out with your gal and noticed your hair flops around like laundry in a windstorm? Well, Mr. Gravely's Hair Stay Put Hair Tonic will hold down even the wispiest hair. Worry not, your hair will stay put in a motor car, on the lake, or even high atop the windiest bluff. You'll be safe everywhere with Stay Put Hair. Mr. Gravely's Stay Put Hair.
Ugh, brother. Carol, you gotta put some oomph into that, Carolina. Well, I worked hard on this, okay?
Sure.
Right. And that little thing you read, that's gonna pay for all your American Girl dolls. So I really need for you to come through for me, okay? I mean, they taught you acting at Colby College, right?
No, I didn't go to Colby College.
Yeah, yes, you did.
No.
Did you go to Colgate?
No.
Did you go to Connecticut, University of Connecticut?
No, I went to Sarah Lawrence in New York.
Did you go to Colorado?
No, because I went to Sarah Lawrence in New York.
Are you sure you didn't go to...
Whatever it is, it's...
University of South Carolina in Columbia?
Is there like
Did you go to Columbia University?
Can we move on?
I swear you went to a college that started with a C. Are you sure Sarah Lawrence isn't spelled with a C, like cedar?
Are you thinking that I went to a college that started with a C because my name is Carolina?
That's what it must be. All right. I was sitting in my downtown office one night, legs up on the desk, enjoying a rare moment of serenity and a glass of scotch, when my secretary, Carolina, announced the arrival of a visitor in the waiting room.
Mr. Burgundy, there's a boy out here to see you.
Oh, that's better, Carolina. That's much better. A boy? Well, I didn't know any boys. Maybe it was some college kid looking to beat a vice rap. Or maybe it was a dog dressed as a boy. Whoever it was pretty late to be calling in on Ron Burgundy. Send him in, Carolina. When the door opened, I was expecting to see a beautiful woman with long, fluttering eyelashes and longer legs. But Carolina wasn't lying. There before me was a small boy, dressed in shorts and a t-shirt, with a ball cap hiding half his face in shadow. He fidgeted nervously with his baseball glove in hand and untied sneakers. Then he spoke.
Mr. Burgundy, my name is Timmy Jones, and I need your help.
Holy shit, Carolina, that was amazing. I'm not just saying it. It's like there was a little boy here in the studio with us. Bravo, Carolina. Okay, sorry. Let's keep going. Oh, my God. Colby taught you well. Okay. All right. How can I help you, small boy?
I just gotta find my dog, Mr. Burgundy. Can you help me find my dog? His name is Peanut Butter, and he's the best dog in the whole world.
Wow! Carolina, I didn't know you had this next level. Unbelievable acting.
Wow, thank you.
Gosh, I like you more as Timmy Jones than as yourself. Okay, give me that line again. I need to up my game.
I just gotta find my dog, Mr. Burgundy. Can you help me find my dog? His name is Peanut Butter, and he's the best dog in the whole world.
Well, Timmy, I don't usually take on missing dog cases. What have you got to pay me? I'm not cheap.
I got my allowance. It's $1.43. And I got my bottle cap collection and 2 comic books.
I couldn't help finding little Timmy adorable. He had poured his pocket change, his life savings, out on my desk, and a bag of bottle caps as payment for my services. It was hard to say no, but first I needed to be straight with this boy. Let me ask you this, Timmy. Are you prepared for the worst? Dog cases don't always go the way we want them to, and I just want to play it straight with you.
What do you mean, Mr. Burgundy?
Call me Ron, Timmy.
Okay, Ron.
Nope, that sounded weird. Keep it formal. Here's the deal, Timmy. Most dogs that go missing in this town are usually eaten, either by other dogs or birds, or they're shot in the head and sold to steakhouses.
I don't believe it.
Well, maybe not the bird part, but I've eaten dog at a steakhouse before. Chancellor's Steakhouse over on Whitby Street had a dog steak on the menu for years before they had to start calling it mock steak. So you can believe it. A lot of dogs are killed for sport. Maybe your dog, Peanut Butter, was just shot and crawled off down a sewer drain to die. Huh? You think that's what happened, buddy? Little boy?
But I saw them. I saw them, Ron. Two men in a gray van pulled up outside my house and snatched Peanut Butter. Oh, Peanut Butter. Wow, 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 wow.
Okay. Don't cry, wow. Little boy. Stop it, Carolina, stop.
Oh, okay, sorry. Stop.
Timmy, I'll find your dog. But what did I say about calling me Ron? It's Mr. Burgundy, okay?
Okay, thanks, Mr. Burgundy.
Side note, I could have only dreamed I'd get a reading like this. Carolina, you are a natural.
Thanks, I feel like I'm kind of getting into the character and...
Believe me, you are. I can feel the heat coming off your performance.
Thank you.
Timmy is as real to me as I imagined him. It doesn't even sound like you. You've got a great instrument there, lady. Okay, don't abuse it. Okay, wait, where were we?
You took the case.
Ah, right. I put Timmy's change in my pocket and stored the bottle caps in my safe. I quickly showed him out of the office so I could get down to business. If I was going to find his dog, Peanut Butter, I would have to act fast. I grabbed Carolina and we headed down to Chancellor's Steakhouse so I could talk to the proprietor, Giuseppe Italiano.
Ah, Mr. Burgundy, what a delight it is to see you again. Will you be having the mock steak tonight?
No thanks, Giuseppe. I'm here on official business.
Oh. What kind of business?
I was wondering if you've seen this dog in your kitchen. I showed him a picture of Peanut Butter. He looked at it for a long time, and then he spoke.
No, he don't look familiar to me, Mr. Burgundy. I think I would remember a dog like this. This dog would make a fine steak, huh?
I wonder if I might talk to one of your dog suppliers.
Mr. Burgundy, you know I can't tell you who supplies my dogs. Wrong answer, Giuseppe.
Ah!
Oh! Ah! Yo! Oh. You watch it, Ron! Ah!
There you go, Giuseppe. How does that feel? Here comes one spicy meatball, Giuseppe. I moved in with an uppercut to Giuseppe's bread basket, followed by a left cross. He went down like a plate of delicious homemade spaghetti. He came back up at me with a right cross that caught me off guard and sent me into a rack of dishes. I quickly grabbed a lobster pot and swung it at that fat little Italian's face, but he was too swift. He threw a cast iron enamel Dutch oven at me, a crusade, or maybe a staub. But knowing Giuseppe, I knew it wasn't a knockoff brand. No, this was a high-quality enamel cast-iron pot. It clonged off my head like a Buick LeSabre hitting a tuba player. I was dizzy for a second, and that's when Carolina jumped in with a quick kick to the nuts. Then she continued on, not one or two, but repeated kicks to Giuseppe's nutsack until finally she put the Italian on the ground for good. I drove home one more hard leather shoe to his face, and that's when he cried uncle.
Uncle!
Giuseppe got most of his dogs from a man named Jorgen Poltersnatch. Carolina and I jumped in my helicopter and flew up to Redondo Beach, California, to pay this Mr. Poltersnatch a visit.
Beep.
You handled yourself pretty well back there, Carolina.
Thanks, Ron. It's just, when I was a child, someone stole my dog, so I know how little Timmy feels.
I could tell she was pretty broken up all over this dog napping business. The wonderful snowball fight we call life can look pretty good until someone throws an ice ball at your face and breaks your nose. Carolina was broken. But if I knew her, she wasn't done yet. Here! A classy gentleman always carries a handkerchief! Go ahead, blow your nose! Sidebar. Once again, Carolina, I would swear to God you are really crying. Truly amazing acting.
Thanks.
Truly.
Yeah, it's whatever.
I am blown away.
Oh my gosh.
We flew up to Redondo Beach, and I set the chopper down on the old wharf. We knew that Jorgen Poltersnatch frequented an old fisherman's bar called the Halibut House at the end of Pier 46. We were hoping to find him there. It was a long walk down that pier.
Geesh, Ron, it's a long walk to this old fisherman's bar.
I know. I should have landed the helicopter right next to the bar, but I didn't.
How much further? I don't usually wear 8-inch spike heels, but I didn't think I'd be walking so far.
It's just up a ways, at the end of the pier. I'll tell you what, let me whistle a little bit. That should take our minds off of all this walking.
That the bar over there?
That's it. Maybe you should stay outside, Carolina. This ain't no place for a lady. Even a little tart like you deserves some dignity.
Hey, Ron, we're gonna, in real life, talk about that later.
It's just a line from a radio play.
That you wrote. Ron, I'm going into the bar now.
Well, the Halibut House was all it was advertised to be. A hard-drinking gin mill for wharf rats and fishermen. We shoved our way through the rowdy crowd and made our way to a man with a Polynesian face tattoo who was also the bartender. I got right down to business. Hey, barkeep, I'm looking for a man named Jorgen Polterklein.
Poltersnatch.
Yes, Poltersnatch. Have you seen him here tonight?
Jorgen? No, he don't come around here no more.
Unbelievable. You really lose yourself in these characters.
It's really nothing, and it's just
goodness,
8 years
it is,
of theater camp.
It's just lovely to watch.
I don't know nothing about no Jorgen Poltersnatch.
I could tell the bartender was lying as he snuck a peek to a door leading to a back room. Caroline and I headed towards the door.
Hey, don't go into that room back there.
But it was too late. We kicked in the door, and sitting at a table with four other disreputable characters was none other than Jorgen Poltenstein.
Poltersnatch, you wrote this.
Hold it right there, Jorgen. Don't anyone move. Jorgen made a dash for the window. He smashed the glass and headed outside for the pier. The other rough guys went to work on Carolina, punching and beating her senseless. But I could see she gave as good as she got. I couldn't let Jorgen get away, so I took off running after him and left Carolina with the other three hoodlums. The chase was on. Jorgen was fast, but I was faster. I don't like to brag, but I can run an 8.6 100-yard dash, which technically is the fastest time in the world. I've never run professionally, of course. I'm not interested in that. The gold medals and the glory mean nothing to me. I'm a detective. We detectives are a rare breed. We live for justice and dames. Dames with long legs and a tall glass of scotch and loyalty and what else? It's not important. It's fine. I caught up to Jorgen and put my foot through his small butthole. That stopped him dead in his tracks.
Oh, you hurt my butthole.
I'll stick this foot up there further if you don't tell me what you did with this dog. I showed him the picture of Timmy's dog, Peanut Butter.
Stop! Oh, Doc! My butt is hurting.
Talk.
Oh, you really hurt my butt.
Can we move on from the butt thing?
I'll hurt it a lot more if you don't start squawking. No, I think this is a powerful part.
Okay. It's a lot about his butthole.
Okay. I stole the dog, but I don't have it anymore.
I was tired of using muscle on him, so I gave him a $20 bill. As you all know, I don't like violence. He was happy to have the 20. Now we talked freely. Not just about his dog-stealing racket, but also his hopes and dreams. Cancel culture, maple syrup as a sweetener. Honestly, it felt good to be out there on that pier with another man I could be open with. I told him about the rough time I was going through with my wife. Well, not my wife, but my doctor's wife. I told him about my silly dreams of one day owning and operating a forklift machine. And he confessed to me his desire to be a cabaret singer in far-off gay Paris. We talked for hours, Jorgen and I, and he finally told me what I wanted to know. He said he had sold Peanut Butter to a dog wrangler up in Los Angeles. Usually the dogs get used for the entertainment industry, like for movies and commercials, but some of the less trainable ones went to porn and backyard fighting. Little Peanut Butter seemed like a wimpy little fella, so I couldn't see him in the fight game, but who the heck knows? I once saw a chihuahua fight a grizzly bear and win. Of course, that was back when dog-on-bear fights were legal, and you could follow the fights on the radio. Anyway, I'm getting away from the mystery. Let's see. Oh, yeah. So, Jorgen Snortlehump and I were now best friends and having a blast. That's when Carolina limped over like some kind of pirate ogre with a wooden leg.
Can we be a little more generous?
She was holding a shotgun, and she had been beaten up pretty bad. One of her eyes was hanging out of the socket like a tetherball.
Jesus.
But she managed to grab a shotgun off of one of her attackers, and she put holes through all of them. The blood ran like a river through the halibut house. And now, standing before me, all savage-looking and soaked in blood and guts, was Carolina. She leveled the gun at Jorgen Peltonsnockle.
Peltonsnatch, come on.
And sprayed his face with lead. Jorgen dropped dead on the spot. I shouted... But it was too late. The good part is I had the info I needed. Carolina and I hailed a cab and headed off into the night. The next morning, I reported my findings to little Timmy Jones. Then Timmy said,
Gosh, Mr. Burgundy, so you're saying my dog, Peanut Butter, was stolen by a man named Jorgen Bottle Snatch, and then he sold it...
Come on, Carolina. Get the name right.
You wrote this. It's Poltersnatch. I know that. And then he sold him to a dog pornography outfit?
Well, there's a lot of places your dog could end up, but porn is definitely an option. Put it this way. A lot of dogs get off the bus in Hollywood with hopes of making it on the silver screen, but they end up hustling for tricks and making two reelers for dog food. Not saying that that's the only place little Peanut Butter could end up, but... we have to consider the real possibility that your dog will be forced into a life of sex work. I mean, maybe some of it was willing. Not trying to shame any sex workers, and I'm certainly not trying to shame any dogs that know a few tricks.
Nice.
Anyway, little buddy, now you know what happened to your dog.
Well, ain't you gonna rescue him, Mr. Burgundy?
I don't know. Dogs that get into that line of work aren't much good as house pets. Maybe get a new dog, huh?
Gee, Mr. Burgundy, I loved Peanut Butter.
Shit. Okay. What have you got as payment, buddy?
I'm all out of cash, but I got this old baseball card my grandfather gave me. I know it ain't worth much, but maybe it's something.
He handed me an original 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle rookie baseball card worth over $5 million. I had to play this one cool. My hands were shaking when I said,
This old thing? This thing ain't worth nothing. Gosh, look at the scratches on this thing.
Aw, gee, Mr. Burgundy.
But just as he was about to take it back, I pretended to be a good guy. I'll tell you what, Timmy. I'll take this worthless card that has no value and can't be traded in for a lot of money because it's worthless, and I'll go rescue your dog because you love him.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Burgundy.
Say, did your grandfather give you any more baseball cards by any chance?
No, just that worthless one you got in your hand. He gave me some dumb old watch some guy named Paul Newman owned. Here.
Well, looky here. A Paul Newman Daytona Rolex watch. Yep, you're right, Timmy. This sure is dumb and worthless. I'll take this and donate it to charity in honor of your grandfather, and I'll get you your dog back. Don't you worry.
But I got nothing of value to give you.
Ah, heck, Timmy. You've given me a restored sense of all that's right and honorable in the world. Now get the hell out of my office. Carolina, get in here at once!
What is it, Ron?
That kid just handed me over $10 million in collectibles like he was high on LSD. We gotta come up with his dog, or at least a lookalike to ensure he don't come snooping around looking for this stuff again.
Ron, taking advantage of a little kid? How could you?
You don't know for sure he's a kid. The facts aren't in. He might be a grown man in one of those kid costumes you see these days.
Ron...
Jorgen said he sold the dog to a dog wrangler working out of a house in Los Angeles. Get your ass-kicking boots on, Carolina. We're gonna go to Los Angeles and find that dog. The ride up to Los Angeles was quiet and tense. Carolina was still pretty sore at me for taking advantage of little Timmy Jones. But the way I figured it, he didn't know that Rolex and the baseball card had any value. He handed me the baseball card and said it was worthless. His loss, my gain. That sucker was worth easily $5 million, and I wasn't gonna stand by and let that kind of cabbage walk out the door. The Rolex was an extra couple of million, and that was gonna be tough to decide what I would do with it. Do I wear it around to make sure everyone knows I'm Ron Burgundy and I'm a huge deal, or do I cash it in and gear up with the best deep sea fishing equipment money can buy? That and other things plagued me on the drive up to Los Angeles, so I really couldn't care too much that Carolina was on the rag.
iHeart is going to sue you if you keep talking about me being on my period. Do you think we'll find Timmy Jones's dog Peanut Butter, Ron?
Hard to say, Carolina. The dog wrangling industry is a nefarious and multi-pronged operation. Its greasy tentacles reach into every facet of our lives. Peanut Butter is well on his way to being in that sordid world now, and all we can hope for is we aren't too late to save him. When we got to Los Angeles, we drove over to where Jorgen said he dropped off Peanut Butter. I set Carolina up with a fake ID claiming she worked for the National Dog Association and gave her a fake story to throw at whoever answered the door. I watched carefully from the car as she approached. I could see a small Mexican woman answer the door.
Hello, can I help you? My name's Trixie Smorth. I'm from the National Dog Association. We'd like to give you an award for having the best dogs.
My plan was working like a charm. Carolina had completely fooled the woman at the door. One second, though. I want to get this right. She's a Mexican-born woman, so give some authentic Mexican-sounding English when you do that, okay, Carolina?
I'm not going to do that, Ron.
Wait, what? Why?
It's wrong. If you want someone authentic to play Carlita Valdez, then you'll have to hire a Mexican-American actress. I don't know what to tell
you. But you could just do the voice. We all know how to speak like first-generation Mexicans. It's Southern California, for God's sake.
You're being racist.
Me? Well, how about that? Ron Burgundy the racist. What? What about when I played Giuseppe with the Italian accent? Was that racist?
Not great, no.
I'm learning, Carolina. The world is spinning faster than an LG high-efficiency stackable front-load washer with one-touch easy care technology. LG, the best name for all your washing needs. See how I threw that in, natural-like?
It's a lot of money under the table for advertising.
Now it's up to our subpar producers to go chase down that money so we can get paid. Anyway, Carolina, I do appreciate when you point out how the world is moving on from our old habits and towards a brighter future. I do think the world is changing for the better. Not cars or clothing or aftershave or stereo equipment or scotch or grooming, but in every other way, the world is changing for the better. I thank you, Carolina, for reminding me it's not my world. It's your world, and it's a better place, except for the clothing thing I mentioned and flooring. Flooring isn't what it used to be. Plush carpeting was king when I was in my prime. Now it's taken a backseat to almost every other kind of flooring. I feel like I'm getting off track here, far, far away from our story. Where were we?
I was knocking on the front door of a suspected dog wrangler, and a nice woman you wrote as Carlita Valdez answered the door.
Great. Continue on. We'll just say her name is Woman Number One. Back to the mystery.
Hello, how may I help you?
Excellent.
My name is Trixie Smorth from the National Dog Association. We'd like to give you an award for the best dogs.
I could see the woman at the door was suspicious. She looked fidgety and frightened.
Dogs? We don't have any dogs here. Leave me alone. There are no dogs here.
She tried to shut the door, but Carolina was too fast. She shoved her boot inside the house as the door was closing, and then she pushed her way in. She still had that mucus-covered eyeball hanging out of her socket. I could hear people running and dogs barking. That's when I sprang into action.
Yeah. Take that.
I ran for the backyard, which meant getting over an 8-foot fence, but luckily I found an old bamboo pole lying around, and I vaulted the fence with ease, clearing the top by at least 3 feet, much like Don Bragg in the 1960 Summer Olympics. What a reference! Anyway, I landed in the backyard only to find more than 1,000 dogs tied up. A group of men were waiting to give me the business with picks and hammers and chains, so I had to react fast. I brought a thundering right hook down on the first man that came at me. He crumpled to the ground like an old accordion. And then the next man came at me with a chain, but I dodged left and got my hand around enough chain to yank the poor sucker right into a left hook. The next guy came at me, and I was beginning to wonder why they didn't attack me all at once, which I suggested to them, but they said they lived by the code of the dog wrangler, and they could only fight mano a mano, which I respected. Just as I was about to knock out the third guy, Carolina busted into the backyard. Somewhere in the house, she found an old 1930s Tommy gun, and she sprayed the yard with lead. Finally, she ran out of bullets. Bodies were everywhere. I could tell Carolina was visibly shaken. She wasn't used to killing that many men. Not like me. I went to her. It's okay. There. You did good, Carolina. Let me see, there must be 26 guys here and you killed them all. That's a high body count. Maybe you should get some therapy down the road. This is going to come back to haunt you. I bet there were a few innocent guys in the bunch, too. There always are. But you did good. Hey, I know what'll cheer you up. Let's let these dogs go. Let me tell you, folks, when we opened up those cages, it was a miracle. Dogs pouring out, jumping around, sniffing butts. It was a huge party. I've never seen happier dogs in my life. There must have been 1,000 dogs locked up back there, and we let them all go. One of the last to be set free was none other than Timmy Jones' little dog, Peanut Butter.
He came up to us wagging his tail and barking like Christmas morning, and our hearts melted on the spot. I thought for one second that maybe I'd steal peanut butter and just tell Timmy Jones I never found him. But Carolina's a real pill, and she would have told on me, so I couldn't. Also, I'm a detective. My name is Ron Burgundy, and I walk a beat. And this has been the Ron Burgundy Mystery Hour. So? What did you think?
Of what just happened? That was pretty hardcore.
That's what I thought, too. Do you mind getting it into Tarantino's hands? And if not his hands, maybe his suit jacket? Maybe his car? You know what? Get this podcast recording next to Tarantino's bed while he's sleeping and wake him up. Introduce yourself and binga banga bongo.
So I think we should sit on this recording.
Right.
Not really release it yet.
Right.
Just edit it. Think about some of the fight scenes, the carnage, my eyeball thing.
I mean, I've thought about it a lot.
And then we can talk to iHeart, actually. And then we can find out what version of this we let out into the public.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to hold on to it. I won't release it until you think it's ready. I watched her dumb face while I lied like a Russian spy. Her dumb eyeball was back in its socket, and I was a millionaire.
Ron, I'm looking at you. I'm listening to this.
Quentin, wake up!